Music is all around us. It is the universal language. It evokes many feelings and is something to be shared and celebrated. You have found a place where all kinds of music will be celebrated. So welcome. You are tuned in to the Zen Sessions, presented by Here to Zen magazine.
Thanks for joining us for episode 2 of the Zen Sessions. Andrew here from the Here to Zen team. We really hope you enjoy today's episode. Today we're joined by Clint Hydman from Something for Kate. They've just released their first album in 8 years, The Modern Medieval. It's an eclectic mix of songs that show why the band have lasted over 2 decades and built a loyal following of fans worldwide. You've got tracks like The Situation Room, Waste Our Breath, Supercomputer, and Come Back Before I Come to My Senses that take the listener on a journey through so many sounds, yet still have that tight-knit sound that Something for Kate are renowned for. So we caught up with Clint, we discussed the album, we discussed the songs, and what makes the band tick. So kick back, enjoy our chat with Something for Kate's Clint Hydman. Hey Clint, how you doing?
I'm good, man, you can hear me? Sorry about that.
All good, man, I can hear you fine.
I didn't set my alarm.
It's okay. How's things?
Pretty good. I just, I've got a bar and I took the day off today. I've got to run down and do something down there and I completely, too much stuff going on at the moment. Just not focused.
It's called life. So, title of the album, The Modern Medieval. How'd the title come about? Is it referencing anything in particular?
Look, I just think it was named. We named it halfway through recording the record last year, so that would have been around September, October. Paul obviously has his meanings behind why we called it that. You know, obviously with everything that's going on at the moment, it just sounded like the perfect title. Obviously, it's mentioned in the lyric in Last Resort Town. The album was going to be called The Garden of Frozen Billionaires. It was either that or The Modern Medieval. So we ended up picking that one, which I think is good. Kind of sums it up really well and sums up this year pretty well.
Yeah, and the other titles sort of, they go well together, really.
They do, don't they?
Almost be a companion piece.
Yeah, could be. Could be that next record that he's supposed to be writing right now. But he should have written, you know, we're making jokes. It's like, you're going to be writing during this lockdown period, right? So hopefully we've got another record to follow up straight away.
Well, it's your first one in 8 years. So for you, was there an old familiarity or was it like starting from scratch?
No, I think it's like old familiarity. It's we'd started it probably 3 different times. Kept getting interrupted by, you know, Paul was playing in the Bowie band and sort of going away and touring quite a lot in between. So we'd start up and then we'd stop, then we'd start up and then we sort of made a definitive plan. We're like, that's it. We're going to have this record done by this time. So we went in probably 3 days a week to our little rehearsal room and really sort of hashed it out. And it just felt like normal. Like we've been together long enough now that we know how each other works and how best, you know, to get the best out of each other. The hard thing usually, and it takes the longest with everything, we write heaps of music, but it's just generally the lyrics that takes the longest time because we write the music, Paul takes it away and puts words to it. And he obviously, you know, labours over those words and has to get it right. And I think generally, you know, always just nails it.
And when you go into record, do you all go live off the floor or start with like some scratch tracks with your drums and then build from there? Or like what's your process?
Yeah, we spend 3 or 4 days in the studio getting comfortable with the surrounds, getting comfortable with the producer, getting comfortable with the equipment that we've got. And with that, then we just workshop the songs. We sit there and go through them with the producer. And it's the first time we really welcome any other feedback into the party, which is always, it's always really interesting because we keep these songs so close to ourselves all, you know, while we're writing them. So, you know, with having the producer there and getting his opinion on what he thinks and suggestions and so on. So then we sort of hash it out like that. And then we, you know, usually take a couple of days off and then go in there and start fresh to record. And, yeah, we just go out there and we always record live all together. The drums are obviously the first thing that have to go down. But, you know, if the bass takes great, we keep that. if there's a vocal tape that's great that goes with it, we keep it. But yeah, it's always a lot of pressure on the drums at the start, and to get it right and to, you know, get that feel, and then we just build on that.
Was there one song for you as a drummer that was the most difficult on this album, feel-wise?
Oh, look, weirdly, probably, you know, like there's some really complex songs on there drum-wise, like Our Extinguished Colleague and things like that. But I think some of the most complex are generally the easiest, and it's more about getting the feel right. I think with, you know, a song like Bluebird or I Will Defeat You, the two that, you know, you've just got to get that right tempo. You can play the parts, but you've got to get that feel that it's just got to lock in, and that, you know, and get that swing or that groove that the song asks for. And I think they were probably two of the more difficult ones, but yeah, not technically, not so much, but the feel is such a big thing with Something for Kate and with all of our songs, and getting that, you know, just that right pull and push at the right time, which is, you know, not easy to capture in the studio. And it's always hard when, you know, there's a lot of pressure on, like I said, with the drums at the start, you don't want to be taking up unnecessary time. But yeah, they were probably the two kind of, yeah, challenging. But like I said, you know, we got there.
So you've got, before I come back to my senses, to me it's like living in like a tense, almost like a haze. Mm-hmm. I know while Paul does a lot of the lyrics, is that something you agree with about the song?
Yeah, a little bit. Like it's a funny one, that song. Like I think it's saying one thing and then doing another, but it's it was funny because the lyrics for that one were written as we were recording it in the studio. So we went in with the music and had no words before we went into the studio, and it was kind of, he was writing it right up to the very last day of a vocal day. And yeah, I think I tend to agree with you on that a bit, actually.
Okay. And is there a song on this album, if you had to pick one that encapsulates Something for Kate as a band from this album, what one would it be?
Oh, look, I think it'd be a toss-up between Supercomputer and Situation Room. I think Situation Room really captures, I think, to me it sounds like really early Something for Kate, but, you know, obviously a band that has been together for 25 years and it's matured. And I think, in a way, Supercomputer as well. They both, yeah, I think, look, I think the hard thing with us, I think all our songs sound completely different, yet there is that common thread of the lyrics and that make it a Something for Kate song. And also, look, the timing shifts in a lot of songs. I don't think a lot of people pick up on the timing shifts until you have to try and play them or you bop your head in time. There's a lot of shifts here and there. And I think those two songs probably sum up, you know, sort of that classic Something for Kate song.
Okay. And thinking about the career, 25 years, what differences do you find Something for Kate as the entity, you know, between 94 and 2020, just your perspective on it?
Oh, look, I think as a band, look, the songwriting from day one to me, from the first demo that we recorded, was, I thought, was amazing. And I always, you know, will say that there's this one song, Glue, that we never released, that, you know, from that moment when I heard the words, the lyrics, I was like, I knew, you know, Paul, it's pretty special with his words. And I think, look, we've managed to be, throughout our career, is just refine that songwriting technique, put, rather than 6 minute long songs or whatever, just get it into, you know, not so much unnecessary fat that is on some of the songs, but while that is still really important, I think we have just become better at our craft, and, you know, we still are learning. Each song we write, we always want it better than the last one. And I think I've felt like that has happened every time with Something for Kate. But, you know, like it still blows me away, like, you know, how we've managed to write that many songs, be together as a band and function as a band for that long over that period of time. Because, you know, obviously it gets pretty heated when it comes to songwriting with us, and we all get involved in some way. But, yeah, it's, yeah, definitely, I don't see a massive difference, but yeah, I just see, well, like, we've got better at our instruments, or better, and Paul's gotten better at using his voice.
And you talk about like older songs. Is there going to be any kind of vault style releases in the future, like looking back at things that weren't released or live shows?
Live shows, I think there might be a few in the can. Like we've been coming, Paul, I think through lockdown, he got pretty good with, we found all these old DV tapes from on the road that we had from years ago. And he said he found some desk tapes and stuff that sync up with his footage. So we talked about just putting stuff together like that. I think with return and with regards to older songs, we pretty much released everything we put out at the time, okay. You know, apart from super demo versions of stuff, which may happen. That may happen one day. But like back in the day, I think we'd always just write, you know, they'd be get released as B-sides. Now, obviously, you don't have that B-side thing happening, but we only write, you know, the 10 songs that we wrote for this record are the only 10 songs we wrote. We worked so hard on them and knew what we had. We didn't really have anything extra after that.
Sure. So if you think about the career, like I said, so you've got gold, platinum awards, ARIA nominations. What do you see as the biggest achievement?
Being around for 25 years and being a band still, and being a band still that likes each other, that likes to be in the company, still gets a buzz when we rehearse. Like we rehearsed for the first time last week or week before, and it's exciting. And I think that's like I said, we didn't start the band to get any of those sort of accolades. We just started a band because we wanted to play music together. And I think the fact that I get to still do that after 25 years with two of my best friends is the thing I'm most proud of. You know, we go up and down like everyone else, but that's definitely, you know, something that is not easy to sustain.
So describe Paul and describe Stephanie, three words or less for both of them.
Paul would be, how would I explain Paul exactly? Complex, tall, and very funny. That's four words. Steph, shorter, complex as well. Very considered and extremely funny as well. Look, I'm going to say both of them are extremely hilarious. I'm going to put that out there. It mightn't come across all the time, but, you know, yeah.
Perfect. And tell me about Yellow Bird.
Yellow Bird's a bar I set up about 15 years ago with a friend of mine. Through touring, I've seen a lot of cafes and bars and always wanted to be on the other side and always wanted to do that. So I set this place up in Chapel Street in Paran. And it was basically just, I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that I liked going to bars and going to you know, cool restaurants and so on. So we set it up and the ethos behind it was basically just play good music, serve, you know, cold cans of beer and burgers and tacos. And it's basically stayed like that for 15 years and still running, and I still work at it weekly. And it's become that thing that I wanted it to be, which is basically a cultural hub. You know, anyone's welcome, but no one tells me to change the playlist or the music. That's my thing I sort of stick to. I've done another bar recently I've had for the last year and down in where I live in Mornington, which is the same, exactly the same ethos as well. It's just about basically an extension of my lounge room.
Great. Now, final question. People are going to have this on their playlist pretty soon, the album. Mm-hmm. What do you want them to take away from it? Because everyone's going to be different. Everyone's going to have their favourite song. But if you had to really give them like a snapshot, what do you want them to take from it?
Tell me to take away from it. Probably, you know, what's, I think another thing, the lyrics can be interpreted in so many different ways. I listen to half the songs and think they're about something different. And I think, you know, everyone will take what they want from it. But I think, you know, to know that we're a band that is still halfway through our career, you know, a band that will still keep putting out songs and keep doing music and keep on keeping on. And I think, you know, yeah, that's what I'd want them to take away. So probably, you know, it's definitely one of the best sounding records we've ever put together. And it's coming in now close second to my favourite Something for Kate record. So.
Perfect, mate. We'll leave it at that for tonight.
No worries. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, mate. Have a good night.
No worries, mate. Cheers, bye.
We really hope that you enjoyed that chat with Clint from Something for Kate. We'd love to thank him for his time. Don't forget, Modern Medieval is out now. Head out, pick up a copy from your favourite store and support the artist. That brings us to the end of episode 2 of the Zen Sessions. Don't forget to subscribe where you find your favourite podcasts. We'll be back in no time soon with episode 3, so we look forward to talking to you then. See you later.
Thank you for listening to the Zen Sessions presented by Here to Zen Magazine. If you are listening to us on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. If you are listening on one of the podcast platforms, please subscribe there. And don't forget to follow Here to Zen Magazine on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.